Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and from now on, every episode will feature a wholly unique ending theme. We're following the trends of Ninja Slayer and Chainsaw Man, of course. And with me, I have...
If anyone needs a pick-me-up, look up Ed Sings Your Love. Thank me later.
And...
You know, every half 50 episodes... Like, I'm always going to pick one of the jewels every S13 track.
It's the only acceptable compromise.
Yep. Now I got the idea of if we had something like this, which would never happen, we were going to say, oh, I can pick anybody I want for the tracks. All right, let's see. Griselda, Carr. Marciano, you'll see.
Oh yeah, there were two Ka albums last week.
Yeah.
Always short notice.
And since I mentioned Ka, he has two albums out now. He just said, like, you know what, you get two albums. Like, okay, wow, damn, he is really feeding this. Even though it ain't up for streaming yet, meaning it might be up for, like, what, 2 to 3 weeks, meaning that's going to be one for October.
Well, you know, you could always fork over the monies.
Which I probably should. I mean, having some advanced moves are awful. I should, you know, get some shit back, but I'm broke right now.
Well, this is why mankind invented bank robberies. Oh wait, I'm being told by our manager that's illegal. Man,
it's only illegal if you get caught.
Yeah, there's the loophole. We just got to figure out how to be really stealthy about this shit.
Yeah, or how about just rob rich people? Fuck it.
That too. Anyway, here we are, episode 282. So, how's everyone's week been going?
I have nothing to report for the past week. I will have more to report next week once the week actually happens, in which there will be talk of movies and maybe a trip to Guitar Center. I'm not sure. That is still very much a TBC, to be continued, because, that's going to be an interesting story. So, I have nothing to report, but I do have Fresca here, and Fresca is delicious.
Okay, then, I'll take your word for it. I don't think I've ever had Fresca. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, we're like any other person who's in anime. I watched all of Cyberpunk Edge Runners since it got released. I mean, I finished it today. And I'll say, whenever you have Trigger and Hiyuki and Meshi in charge of shit, it's like, yeah, it's bound to be that good shit. It's that good shit. And I can see why when I heard that you say you got depressed through it and shit, like, you know what, shit, I don't blame him. I saw the end of that, it's like, wow, okay, you know what, maybe it's like, you know, maybe I'm, he's like, you know what, I'm glad I got pants talking with Garter Belt now. Can I work on that now? I need to feel happy and horny. I mean, that would make me depressed. Still horny, but yeah.
We still gotta hold out until next year. Anyway, as for me, for the most part, I have not really done much. Well, until today when I spent the whole day howling about various Chainsaw Man announcements. Only a few more weeks, people. A few more weeks! But it's gonna be great to hear Ryan Colt Levy in a lead role. Looking forward to that. And with pretty much that intro stuff out of the way, we're going to get on to the usual business. We got quite a bit to discuss here, so of course let's start off with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes, maybe mark your calendars for some new albums. Starting right up at the top, so last year we got the most recent album from the metal band Tribulation, where the gloom becomes sound. Evidently their final set of recordings with guitarist Jonathan Holton. He was afterwards replaced by Joseph Thal, and presumably sometime down the road they will be replaced by a Jotaro and then a Josuke. Look, I'm sorry. I had to make that joke. That's way too much of a coincidence. Jonathan and then Joseph. There's no way. But anyway, we're probably still about at least a good year or so away from whatever the next Tribulation Project winds up being. But we have their first official recording with Joseph on guitar with a one-off track called Hamartia. And yeah, it sounds pretty good, about like what you would expect from Tribulation's current era style. Got a pretty steady tempo with a lot of very filthy, gruff-sounding vocals, a lot of kind of dark, melodic death metal riffing with generally gothic atmospheres and moody guitar leads. Kind of a bit of an 80s, some 80s era metal vibes going on in the guitars in this one, but yeah, good stuff.
Not too bad. It's got a solid 80s horror movie vibe to its tone with its slowed down tempo and ominously heavy riffs with clean chorus guitar in the back for ambience. My favorites. Very good. I like it.
And moving on to the second track we got on the docket. So, earlier this year, artist Angel Olsen dropped a new album called Big Time. I have not listened to it. In fact, I'm not sure I could tell you any Angel Olsen songs off the top of my head. But we got a sort of re-recording of its title track coming out in the past week, featuring none other than an artist we all do know in this corner of the internet, Sergio Simpson. And, again, I couldn't really tell you how this squares with Angel Olsen's discography as a whole, or even just the original song, but it does sound very country fried, like a late night slow dance at the Hootenanny down south before you pull your partner in for a romantic kiss or something like that. I assume that's how it goes. I don't know. Either way, sounds solid enough for what it is.
This is very nice. Like, how does Angel Olsen wants like on an album way back in about a couple of years back, and that's it. I mean, I've been following her stuff as of late, but it's like, I don't really hear it, and I even know, like, I know she's more pop than country, or like a folk shit pop, or some shit like that, but yeah, she sounds nice on this, pretty good, and her duet with Sturgill Simpson does sound good here, too. Like, it's like a good old country slow dance shit, like, this one, he does, I'm like, you know what, I'm for it.
Yeah, this kind of stuff is not what we usually cover. This is just 70s trucker country through and through, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Also, a reminder that Sturgill Simpson performed Call to Arms on SNL in 2017, and it's probably the best SNL performance ever.
I'm going to have to bookmark that and check it out. Anyway, moving on to something that's actually more within our regular wheelhouse, because when aren't we talking about, you know, these guys at some point. It's Griselda O'Clock, and we have I'm going to say a double dose because it's two songs, but technically it's like the three main guys, but one song is one guy and the other song is the other two guys. I need to bone up on my Griselda math here. That's a subject that kind of slept through the classes on, to be honest.
All right, so, as you're saying, it's all about the main three guys. One thing gets one for being the Butcher, and the other one was West Side Gun and Conway the Machine. Which, by the way, that duo name used to be Hall and Nash. By the way, that's a wrestling reference for those that don't get it. I mean, I know some.
One more for the good guys.
Okay, anyway, they got two new songs. For Benny, he got his called European Bling, and for Westside Conway, it's called Effortless Flash Shit. The difference is, well, not difference, but the common thing about it is, both produced by this producer by the name of Michelangelo. I don't want to tell us can do beats.
I didn't know either. Man, those guys are really multifaceted.
Yeah, then again, they had a routine before, so, it's pretty much, with Benny's European Bling, like, it's very, you know, very, it's him in his comfort zone, like, I mean, he got this, you know, very menacing, like, boom bap beat, and going to talk about, we talk about basically how he is, which, basically, what I usually hear out of Benny track, which, okay, it's pretty solid enough, like, it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite, but like, it's a solid track for what it is. And for Effortless Flash Shit, I say this one has more of an extravagant sound going on. Like, it has some horns going on. Like, this is the shit that West Side Gun often deals with. The reason why I kind of dig his sound, dig whenever he put, would dig his sound, dig at least his shit more. It's like, okay, I kind of dig that, did that a lot too. Like him and Conway going, you know, doing a tag team back and forth shit. Hence the old dual name Hall and Nash. Which, see, I guess, like, for whatever, I guess these are either new tracks or just old tracks that been released. These are what I got from it, but it's like, these are some solid joint. These are solid dope tracks.
Yeah, they're always pumping stuff out, so who knows when these were recorded, but I find it interesting kind of how, like, the aesthetics kind of split down the middle, with Benny having, like, the very dark, ominous, grimy rap beat, and West Side Gunn and Conway getting the more lush, kind of big band instrumental behind it. Moving on to the next couple of tracks here. So, as you might have heard from, you know, the internets, and sometimes on here, and maybe on podcast O&A as well, Netflix has been on a bit of a roll this month with its anime offerings. Last week, we got the last batch of Bastard episodes to round out season one, which are, of course, very dark fantasy, very heavy metal. I'm still not entirely sure if I should take Dark Schneider seriously or not. We had the new batch of Stone Ocean episodes coming out at the beginning of the month, and even, of course, as we mentioned, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which everyone keeps saying is so much better than it has any right to be, given the game that it's attached to.
It's grimdark with full frontal nudity.
Intentionally, as in not glitchy, apparently. I still can't believe that's actually a thing that happened in the game on launch. Holy shit. Man, that... I am flashing back. The launch of that game was a fucking, like... It would be more sad if it wasn't so funny. But, of course, not all is sunshine and rainbows in the realm of Netflix anime. Apparently, there's been production problems with one of their weekly release exclusive titles, Uncle from Another World, and, well, there's been a bit of a not quite great response to a newly announced project called Exception, which is dropping on October 14th. I mean, it does have some, like, you know, notable staff on it. Like, it's directed by Yuzo Sato, who's helmed anime adaptations of things like Akagi and Kaiji Ultimate Survivor. Also, Police in a Pod earlier this year. But you know, details. Of course, relevant to this discussion, it has the musical efforts of composer Ryuichi Sakamoto. And the character design work is by Yoshitaka Amano. There it is. There's the hitch.
Yeah. You can't get every check mark.
Look, no disrespect to the man. He's, of course, one of the greatest illustrators living in current memory. But we've been over this so many times, especially after Ghibli 8 last year. The man's designs are not conducive to being adapted to anime. Either that or they just keep getting people that aren't that great at doing it.
Oh, he's more of that shit. Oh, damn.
Well, if it's any consideration, it's probably going to get drowned out by the other 200-odd shows airing in the fall season.
Chainsaw Man! Please. But no, yeah, seriously, this shit pretty much looks like we have Arcane at home. It's like if someone tried to take a vanillaware game like 13 Sentinels or Odin Sphere and turn that shit into really bad-looking 3D models. It's just... Oh, God, it's so garish.
It's not going to win an Emmy, either.
Yeah. But, at the very least, that'll probably have some solid enough tunes backing it, if nothing else. Because we got two released soundtrack pieces, the literal opening piece of the film, and a piece called Oxygen. They both sound about on par with Sakamoto's compositional works, very focused on, like, symphonic ambience and strings that are very fitting with kind of the sci-fi premise of the story. Of course, you know, the opening is just a brief one-minute track with sort of a bright shimmeriness to it, whereas Oxygen is longer and kind of has more of this somber, dramatic mood to it all. So, I'd say maybe hunt down the soundtrack. That could be pretty good, but, God, I feel sorry for anyone that's going to make themselves sit through this.
Well, bringing the conversation back around to the guy, to say that he's done a lot would be putting it lightly. He's been working since 1978, and some of the work he's done is he's composed the music for Royal Space Force, The Wings of Onimize, the Gainax film. He co-scored Alejandro Inarritu's The Revenant. He starred along He starred alongside David Bowie in 1983's Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. He has done collaboration music video work with the likes of Thomas Dolby and David Byrne. And he has 19 solo albums to his name. And that's just scratching the surface with this guy. He's done a lot. Yeah, as for what we have here, it's very wide open and cinematic and ethereal. It's kind of fitting for this and for the kind of work he's done for the last 40 plus years.
Yes, yes it is.
Yeah, what they said, because I think pretty much took everything I was going to say, but yeah, but here it is. What are some good shit? I don't know how this is going to turn out. I mean, I ain't heard much about this show, but if the show ends up sucking, at least the music will be good.
Is it a show or a movie? I'm not entirely sure.
You know what? I don't know at this point.
By the way, speaking of not scratching the surface, weird bit of trivia for those that don't know. You know the guy who created the Ace Attorney series is a big fan of Sakamoto? That's where the main protagonist gets his original Japanese name, Naruhodo Ryuichi. I just think that's worth mentioning. It's interesting. But anyway, speaking of soundtracks by storied composers to media projects that are releasing on the 14th of October, that day we'll see the conclusion of the David Gordon Green directed Halloween Revival trilogy. Of course, we had, you know, I think it was 2018, the first part, which was pretty good, a lot better than I was expecting it to be. You had Halloween Kills from a couple years ago, which had some really great kill scenes, but was marred by some perhaps unintentionally hilarious storytelling. By the way, mention that Michael Myers is pure evil? He's pure evil. We need to mention that he's pure evil, like, at least once every 5 fucking minutes. Because the audience isn't gonna get it otherwise. Anyway, I'm still looking forward to this last movie. You know, I'm pretty sure they can at least make a pretty satisfying conclusion to all this. Until we get the next reboot in however many fucking years. So, of course, with a new Halloween film, that of course means a new collection of soundtrack pieces, courtesy of John and Cody Carpenter, as well as Daniel Davies, you know, coming back into the fold and all. We, of course, get the soundtrack piece here, but we got 2 songs here. One is a soundtrack piece called The Possession, well, The Procession. It brings a lot of the expected ominous atmosphere with a lot of droning background guitars and that persistent menacing synth melody with the occasional light, like, low-end piano keys just to really see the deal of how ominous it all is. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have, well, the last, you know, movie ended with Ghost. This one's going to feature an original music contribution from Boy Harsher, an electronic music group based in Massachusetts, who, I guess fittingly enough, first met as film school students in Savannah, Georgia. They have a track called Burn It Down, and it fits pretty well with, like, the dark wave, synth-heavy aesthetics of Carpenter's compositional work here. The notes drone on mysteriously and ominously. The track does have a small smattering of breathy vocals here and there, as opposed to being pure instrumental, and there's definitely more of a percussive element to it, not just with the persistent kick, but also percussive elements that kind of click and bounce around in the mix. I dig both of these tracks, and yeah, you know, I'm probably going to see if I have time to go check out the movie at some point. Now, moving on to the end of the month. As we heard last week, Bjork has started rolling out singles from her upcoming studio album, Fossora, again, coming out September 30th, and we have the second single from the album here called Ovule, and it definitely feels like it continues a lot of the elements from the previous track. You do get, like, a symphonic brass section blasting this very rhythmically strange section alongside equally, like, distorted electronic percussion. Again, it's very, like, rhythmically choppy. Like, I listened to the song a couple times. Kind of hard to get a beat on, like, the tempo of it because it feels like everything is kind of just subtly distinct and, like, yeah, just very strange. Again, it's Bjork's world and we're all just living in it. Equally strange are the lyrics, which are this very poetic but also kind of abstract presentation of, I assume, the act of romance and lovemaking. Which, you know, makes sense given the title ovule refers to the structure of a seeded plant that contains all the female reproduction cells and stuff. Again, it's Bjork. Just, it's Bjork.
I got nothing here. I got nothing.
All right. Anyway, moving on to the next track over here. Algiers kicks ass. I just feel like that needs to be stated. Algiers is very, very just A+. They have a new single out now. Not exactly quite word of an album just yet, though I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year or so we hear something. The track here is called Bite Back, and it has a couple of very interesting guest contributions here. For the most part, it has like this dark minimal drum beat backed by this ominous synth pattern in the background. And there's a lot of synthy blade stuff this week. And it's occasionally punctuated by this kind of... I'm pretty sure it's like a sound effect taken from like the old Sony Hawk Pro Skater games. Like you know when you're getting a preview of each level and it flashes the goal and you get hit by like that big sound effect, that scratchy thing? Kind of like that. Of course, you get a lot of really great vocals from Franklin James Fisher, you know, doing kind of his soulful, you know, belting vocals and some kind of like low-key but really rapid, rap verses. Which makes sense considering that the guest contributions here are from a couple other rappers. First up in the first half, Billy Woods, who, you know, he brings his usual, like, very steady delivery and his very, like, stream of conscious lyrics. And then, of course, you get this dramatic sparse bridge in the middle leading into the back half, which combines Franklin's soulful vocal performances with some hard-hitting bars from noise rapper Backwash. Nothing else to add from there other than everyone does great, everything slaps hard, and this is proof why you need to be paying attention to a band like Algiers, because they're one of the best, like, you know, bands in the rock scene right now, just always A+.
Okay, you know, when I... The rest of those clubs, like, okay, Algiers and Billy Woods and Backwash. Okay, this is... Okay, I know... Okay, we definitely got to put this on the list. Like, I know, like, this is something that I know y'all be interested in. Like, this is pretty good. Like, okay, like I know, like, I've been siphoning with Algiers because I listened to their first album, and I think I like one of those Swim tracks when it came out. But I got to say, they combined that way. They had this great combination of just, like, industrial gospel... Hip hop, I want to say alt rock, no, like some shit like that. That the mix it just sounds so nice.
Hear, hear. Now, moving on to the last track here, stemming from my neck of the woods in South Florida, the guys in Torch are I think they either currently are, or they're about to embark on their tour with Meshuggah. Their very last tour, in fact. It was announced back in May, ahead of time, that this would be frontman Steve Brooks' last tour with the band, and in this past week it was further confirmed from there that once this tour is over, the group is officially calling it quits. Which makes sense considering that I'm pretty sure one of their members lives all the way out in the Midwest by this point, while everyone else is down here, so yeah, I guess it doesn't make too much sense for there to be, like, the band still going, but... You know, they've had a pretty solid run, like 18 years in the game, 5 studio albums, all pretty consistently banging, especially Admission from like 2019 or so. But of course, we have one last single from the band to go out on, you know, as the tour gets underway. It's a song called It Never Began. And of course, it's very fittingly Torch through and through. Lots of ridiculously bass-heavy production and sludge in the guitars, the huge, loud, booming drums being played by Rick Smith, and of course a lot of Brooks's ethereal vocals over top all that sludge. Although, of course, the guitars do find room to eke out some ominous tremolo melodies to expand out from that sound, but pretty much, if you've been following Torch from the beginning, you know what to expect from this song, and man, 18 years, holy shit, what a run.
Yeah, this is very heavy and booming, and it's got some... It's got some chunk to it. I like it. It's the good kind of heavy that doesn't get too Lorna Shorey. That's always a good sign for me. I'm not gonna like Lorna Shore, guys. It's not gonna happen.
It's always gonna come back to that band, isn't it? But yeah, that pretty much covers the new song discussions. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a couple news topics to discuss here, so stay tuned. And we're back. We only have about two news topics to discuss here, both wildly diametric opposites in terms of tone. So let's start with the bittersweet good-ish news first. Well, I mean, bittersweet in the sense that it deals with, you know, literal fucking crimes of a horrific nature. In this case, R. Kelly, who has been on quite the legal downward spiral due to his history of sexual abuse, finally bite him in the ass. A lot longer than it probably should have taken, but we've got what's probably like the last real nail in the coffin that we need, because a Chicago federal jury back on Wednesday found him guilty of 3 counts of child you-know-what for filming himself abusing his then 14-year-old goddaughter.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Fucking videotapes of that shit everywhere, and, you know, I'm not sure how it could get any worse in terms of, you know, Kelly's prison sentence. I like to hope it would. Like, we already have, like, at least, like, I'm pretty sure other counts in other courts, and I would like for the charges to stack exponentially, because fuck this guy. But, yeah, so, with that verdict, just revealing just how awful he is, and just how awful his crimes are, it feels like there's some semblance of justice in the world, even if a tiny bit. Although there were some, you know, acquittal charges as well, so...
Yeah, the full count here, according to the Chicago Tribune, of the 13 charges of the indictment, 3 counts indicted on child charges, and 3 counts of child trafficking through coercion and enticement. That's 6. But was acquitted on charges that he conspired to obstruct justice in his 2002 Cook County case, and acquitted on 2 counts of receiving and 1 count of conspiring to receive. Yeah.
Ugh. It's awful to think about.
Yes, but it is.
But again, yeah. At least there was, like, at least he got, you know, charged on some things.
There will be a sentencing hearing coming for this, don't worry. And we're going to tack on more to the 30 years that was, you know, sentenced back in June.
Yeah, we pretty much know that. Yeah, this nigga's going away for a long time. And I suggest, I'm saying this right now. If you're watching a mid-2000s movie or early-2000s movie and you hear his voice in a song, you're going to feel more... Yeah, you're going to feel more disgusted now that you know about this shit.
Yeah.
Just saying, he was in a lot of, like, 2000s movie soundtracks. Just
don't remind me. Yeah. We'll see just how much worse shit gets for him from there. And I hope it gets very worse. But... to wash the taste of that out of everyone's mouths with something that's at least, well, okay, it's stupid, but it's at least funny. So, it feels like over the past few months, people have been a lot more pissy about Anthony Fantano, the internet's busiest music nerd, best teeth in the game, well, than usual. Because, you know, there was that debate a few months back with that Twitch streamer Los Poyos TV over the recent Drake album Honestly Nevermind. By the way, update, Los Poyos has still not learned how to hum the melody from Tex Go Green.
You know, maybe everybody's just mad that instead of getting Not Good number 5, NAF got an AI-generated review that was a 4 out of stars thing, which I think is worse than a Not Good because he didn't even bother writing it. He just had a bot do it.
Yeah, there was that. And then, of course, there was also that weird little thing where, in response to a negative review that he posted, someone decided to perform the very, very, definitely well-adjusted and totally not psychologically insane action of leaking Fantano's divorce papers to Reddit. I hate the internet sometimes.
I did not know that before now.
I have to look up what the exact review was, but yeah, that shit happened. Like... okay, I don't know if you remember when he put a video on his Fantano channel where he was like, guys, I know you've heard the rumors. I know there's this dark secret you've all been wondering about, and it is true. I did really like Seabat by Hudson Mohawk.
Oh.
Yeah, like, the joke there was that he knew about the leak, but he was playing it off like, I guess, like, he didn't know, like, it didn't bother him, or... But still, that is a fucking psychologically insane response to someone saying they didn't like an album you did. That's why we have the phrase, go outside and touch grass.
Jesus.
We offer this so we don't do that shit. It's like, they talk shit about Tool, y'all shouldn't go around doing that shit.
No, because we understand. Y'all know this is just my opinion, right? Is that in the info box of every one of his videos. We get it, because we are sane and sound-minded individuals.
Well, you see, maybe that's the problem, because being at the bottom of the info box requires people to read, and, well, you know.
Yeah, we know. Reading comprehension is at an all-time low right now.
But, yeah. As for what happened this past week, speaking of the, Los Poyos thing, it looks like Drake himself has, taken to having a problem of sorts with the internet's busiest music nerd. So, it started when Fantano made a video about getting DMs from Drake, which was kind of, I guess, surprising, but, you know, Drake is, you know, well, Fantano has his correspondence with music artists, but I didn't think on the scale of Drake, and he says in the video that he got DM'd by Drake a vegan cookie recipe. Which seems like a very ridiculous thing to DM a music critic. But then shortly after that video went out, Drake took to Instagram to post what he actually DM'd Fantano. Because he actually did DM Fantano, and what he said was, and I quote, "Your existence is a light one, and the one is cause you are alive, and cause you somehow wifed a black girl. I'm feeling a light to decent one on your existence." And here's the thing.
Okay, yeah.
There's no, like, message history between the two, at least according to the screenshot. So, this was just unprovoked. Because, like, the album came out in June. Honestly, Nevermind came out in June. And it's been, like, 3 months since then. So, why would Drake give a shit now?
Like now you care about it, like, didn't like the time of doing your previous albums, and most of them have not been good grades. I mean, they wasn't not good, but they were, well, not positive. And now you want to respond? It really gonna bring up the whole, something you wife the black girl, nigga, you forgot to pay your mama ain't black. But because you're the wife, women aren't that black. So, I don't know why you're talking that shit, and, but it's being like, ain't you light-skinned, nigga?
Not to mention, I gotta borrow a quote from Fantano that he made reference to on an Instagram live stream. He said, and I quote, "Why is Drake messaging me? I'm not 18 years of age." It's kind of weird. "This man is familiar enough with me to know my rating system, which is kind of odd. Seems a little upset. Obsessed, rather. This is why he has ghostwriters, because this is the quality of insult when you get when this man is working solo dolo. If I wanted a good insult in my inbox, he would have had to have paid someone else to come in and do it." Goddamn.
I fail to see the logic in leaking your own DMs on Instagram unprovoked as a response to the joke video. Like, yeah. Aubrey, what is going on in your head, man?
Well, look, maybe he decided to go... It's like Los Poyos said. Maybe he decided to go on, like, a Drake and Drive. and boy. Just, like, you oh know, boy. Got all up in his feelings. And just decided, you know, I'm gonna send some DMs, man. And, yeah, like... Honestly, there's just more, like, great Fantano quotes about all this. Like, I'm gonna leave Drake on red, just like all the other thirsty bitches in my DMs. Another angry bitch in my DMs. I don't need another one. I left Drake on red, just like so many women from the past. Just one more in a long line who left that man on red. And it's like, come on, dude. You leaked your own DMs onto the internet. That's sad. That's pathetic. I don't even have a million followers. How do you let me get under your skin like that? And it is really funny, like, because I'm not sure Fantano was intentionally baiting Drake to release those DMs. Like, dude, you could have just let the dumb V... He does shitposts like this on Fantano all the time. You could have just let it slid by. Like, I'm not sure anyone actually believed that, like, you were DMing him a vegan cookie recipe. But now here you are, having confirmed just how thin-skinned you can really be. Like, you have more money. Like, you probably got more money in a year than someone like Fantano has earned as in his entire career as a YouTube music critic. Why do you care?
You have all the money in the world. You sold a lot of records. You have many, many, many women falling for you for some reason. And guys want to be you for some reason. And you're salty about this? I mean, be lucky you didn't do it again, any other music critic or any other music critic group. Like, imagine doing shit to Dead End Hip Hop.
Oh God, what would he be DMing those guys? Like, what fake DMs could they come up with?
I don't know. Like, he probably be bigger than the Mike C Town because I know he's vegan.
Then you just go, oh, okay, whatever. Oh, New In Flames. I'm gonna check this out.
Exactly. Like, I'm just not sure what else to say to this other than, dude, you know, this is, again, this is, I'm pretty sure this is why humanity invented the phrase go outside and touch grass. Aubrey, what the fuck? But, you know, whatever. At the end of the day, it's just another L in the long list of Drake L's, like Certified Lover Boy, nope. Honestly Never Mind, the Pusha T beef. Just oh goddamn. But yeah, so that about does it for the news topics, and we're just gonna move quickly into the last little thing here, and that is the new album releases for the week of September 23rd, 2022. Starting at the top here, we have the newest album from Ken Mode with Null. There's the brand new album from Editors with EBM. Unfortunately, there's a new 5 Seconds of Summer album called 5SOS5. And there's
still around?
Man, I don't know. Who cares? And there's, of course, last but not least, the new Willow Smith album, Coping Mechanism. Well, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I just ramble incoherently about many a thing, usually, every now and then, sometimes, whenever I feel like it, you know, as I do.
Mark, what about you?
As usual on Twitter, about the media, where you now see my now new shape, well, haircut. I don't have the fro anymore.
Yes, that is true.
Because I don't know... Yeah, because I need to cut it. And also, my hyper one on WordPress.com, where, of course, because coming soon, it's going to be the whole, you know, time of the season, summer 2020, you know, summer 22 anime wrap-up, because, you know, it's about to end, and of course, getting ready for the big anime avalanche that is fall 2022.
Yeah, gotta be a time. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sweetresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast M&A, and all of that good stuff. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can post deals and Letterboxd reviews and whatever else people post on Discords. Presumably non-vegan cookie recipes as well. And yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll of course be back next week with the usual weekly nonsense. And until next time, remember to leave out milk and cookies for Dark Schneider Claws tonight.
Preferably vegan cookies.